Our next guest on the program was nominated for a Tony Award for her work in the musical Once. She has appeared on stage in productions of King Lear, Allegro, The 39 Steps, and more. You've seen her on television in programs like Law & Order, SVU, and New Amsterdam, and she stars as Thomas Jefferson in the production of 1776 at American Repertory Theater in Cambridge. We're happy to be joined by Elizabeth A. Davis. Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
It was a couple of years ago that we talked with you, and you were telling us at the time about this production. Here we are 2 years later. How much of a role did COVID play in delaying this whole thing?
Oh, COVID was the lead, the star of the show for a while. We were delayed by, I think, over 2 years with this production. So, you know, it's been a long time in the making, but it has certainly allowed more research for the creatives to think more robustly, and for the cast, for us to really wrestle with what is happening in the world and how that relates to what we have been through in the forming of our country. So it's been a pretty astonishing road, but we're on it. So and they're off.
And a homecoming for you, because it was there at ART that Once was born several years ago.
You know, I'm currently standing right in front of the Oberon Theater, which is where we ran Once. You're right, 10 years ago. So it absolutely is a homecoming. And I'm walking the cobblestones here in Harvard, and the wonderful ghosts and the old haunts are all here. So it's been great.
Well, we're such a fan of the work that Diane Paulus does there, and she's teaming up with Jeffrey L. Page in the direction of this. What's it been like working with that crew?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I was a bit delayed earlier because I was in rehearsal with those two individuals who I've grown to really love and respect, not from afar now, but up close and personally. And it's been a real pleasure to go through this really intense process. I underestimated this show a bit. I didn't realize what a monstrosity of a show it is. There are so many elements. I thought, oh, this is going to be a pretty easy show for me. And, you know, never say that. Cut to, you know, all sorts of things that are requiring me to make sure I'm taking care of my body, etc., which I should be doing anyway. But it's a nice reminder that theater is indeed a workout of an art form.
The cast of this production of 1776 are all women, non-binary actors or trans actors. Why is that important, particularly at this time in America?
Diane and Jeffrey were very clear that they wanted to have a representation of people who were not necessarily included in the original signing of the Declaration. The Declaration, while a glorious document that has been used for, you know, every major cultural revolution in our country as well as many others, there were people not included in that Declaration. As brilliant as Thomas Jefferson was, and I do believe he was absolutely brilliant, he also had a body slave who was helping him while he wrote the words, "All men are created equal." So we're trying to wrestle with what Professor Vincent Brown calls the predicament of history, that it's not neat and clean in the way we like to perhaps imagine it, that everything comes with, as also Benjamin Franklin says in the show, compromises. They come into the world like bastard children, Dr. Franklin says, which obviously is, it's an offensive phrase, but there is there is merit to the fact that nothing is perfect in its creation. And as we also find in this second act of this piece, the slavery clause is exactly why Diane and Jeffrey wanted to do this production in the first place. In the first draft of the Declaration, Thomas Jefferson included making slavery illegal in this country. And by the time they got to the final draft, the slavery clause had been omitted. So we're wrestling with that history of what exactly the ramifications of that are and continue to be.
We're talking with Elizabeth Davis here on Downtown. I know part of your preparation to play Thomas Jefferson included visiting his home, right?
Certainly did. Yes, I went twice, actually. The first time I went was right when the pandemic hit. So the day we tried to visit Monticello was the day everything started shutting down. So I was unable to go. But my husband and my son and I went back just a few days before rehearsal started and was finally able to visit Monticello. And I also read a couple of books in preparation, two of which are by Harvard professor Annette Gordon Reed.
I understand the costumes by Emilio Sosa are a wonderful mix of the period, but also incorporating some of your own style.
Yes, it's a beautiful mix of making sure that the people in the cast are unique and unto themselves. But I do think that there is something magical happening, and we are able to evoke these men. And it is the alchemy of theater that is happening as we step into these costumes and assume these characters. I think that Diane has done a pretty magical job of casting the show for essence. And I think regardless of gender, race, creed, etc., the essence of a person remains. And so I will be interested to see how folks receive the casting and if it translates, if the story still translates. I personally think at this juncture that it does, and I hope that other people will find that to be the case as well.
The music is great. I love those Sherman Edwards songs that were a mix of several different genres, and I would think those work so well. And you get to sing maybe my favorite song from the show, The Egg.
Oh, man. I do. I get to sing that along with Crystal Lucas Perry playing John Adams and Petrina Murray playing Benjamin Franklin. And the orchestrations are all brand new, as there's obviously different voices singing. So I don't want to give too much away, but the orchestrations and the vocal arrangements are certainly giving this song and the entire collection of songs a new feel. New excitement, but trying to capture what the writers were originally doing, which was doing something brand new. So we're also trying to do something brand new, but for 2022.
We had Bill Daniels on the show a few years ago, who played John Adams in the original production, and that was one of his favorite moments as an actor. It is such a remarkable show, and how exciting it is that this project is making its way back to Broadway, The Roundabout, in September. How excited for you to get back to Broadway?
It'll be a wonderful moment. It really will. And it's exciting that the journey is also including being at ART before coming back to Broadway. So I guess this is my pattern. I guess I just do Boston into Broadway. I guess that's the only way it goes for me.
Well, being up here in Maine, we love ART, the opportunity we've had through the years to see some great shows before they made their way to Broadway because of the wonderful work that Diane does down there. So excited to get down there and see this production as well. And I was thinking about this. I mean, you've got a pretty impressive resume as it is, but what other actor will be able to say that they played both Thomas Jefferson and Blanche DuBois?
You know, that the concentric circle list of that may be small. You are correct.
Well, we wish you much luck. I know your official opening is coming up later this week. Break a leg on opening night. We hope it's a very successful run for you, both at Cambridge and then on to Broadway this fall. And I know you're doing double duty with previews and rehearsals right now. So we appreciate you making a few minutes for us this afternoon, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me. And we look forward to having folks here in Cambridge.
Awesome. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Take good care.
That's Elizabeth A. Davis, 1776 American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, opening officially this week and playing, I think, into the month of July. A wonderful opportunity to see this show before it gets to Broadway. And it's just, it's a great musical. One of my favorites of all time.